Hello, and welcome to the official Anite podcast. I am your interim host, Requiem, filling in for Proton Storm, who is busy being Emperor of Japan or something like that. Joining me this week is just two people. It's the Three Musket Stooges from the Highlands of Scotland, the number one baby metal fan, Doc Kev.
Good evening.
How was baby metal?
Fantastic. Shiny.
Did you buy very expensive merchandise?
I did not, no.
I don't know what the point was then.
Yeah, we spent more on books than on the baby metal concert.
That's very true.
That's a weeb move, though, so I have to respect it.
If my priorities straight.
All right. Also joining us this week, editor extraordinaire and hater of all things, it's That's My Pizza.
Ohio gozaimasu.
Are you here to hate?
Nah, I'm more like, I'm in an attack dog mood, so anything that we talk about, I'm going to rip to shreds.
Like all right, good. That's what everybody wants to hear. They want to hear lots and lots of negativity and clickbait.
Well, and hot takes.
The hottest takes. We only do scorching hot takes here.
Well, we only do that when I'm here.
No, because if you're not here, Gugsy's here, and he does the same thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's what he does. All right, first of all, let's get our housekeeping out of the way. Articles up on our official website. Why don't you handle that, Doc Kev, since I think you wrote all of them.
I wrote 80% of them. So this is medium.com/anite-official or anite.org, which is the website that this podcast is based around. We have five articles since the last time we recorded a podcast. The first being from Dark Aether, The World of Radiant Explained. Aether is our resident radiant what would you say, fanatic, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, he's very keen that everyone watches this show, and he's planning to do a series of articles, and this is the first one. So we'll give that a look. It kind of goes into some depth about the world of the show itself, and even if you've not watched it, it's still worth reading, because there's some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, fanatic doesn't even seem to do him justice, to be honest with you.
Should we just start calling him the Radiant Zealot?
He's the high priest of Radiant.
He's the Lord Imperator of the Radiant fan club.
That sounds like it. Okay. So the next four articles I wrote, well, that's because I was on holiday, so I had time to write. So I was doing my Makoto Shinkai retrospective because his newest movie, Suzume, just recently came out. So I wrote articles about Children Who Chase Lost Voices, also released in some countries as Journey to Agartha, The Garden of Words, Your Name, and then I also reviewed Suzume because I went to the cinema to see it. So I liked all of those movies a lot better than 5 centimeters per second, which I still hate. But the rest of the films that he made after that were fantastic. And in fact, the only one that I hadn't seen before writing these articles was The Garden of Words, which I really, really enjoyed. It's pretty short. It's only about 45 minutes long, but it's just beautiful. I really, really liked it. And
really?
And the novel is great. The novel really expands the story by, and it gives most of the characters in the movie a chapter of their own. It gives an awful lot of background, which is it's beautifully written, and it's a really nice story. And it also provide some closure that the movie doesn't. And that does seem to be a running theme with Shinkai's movies. Maybe not the most recent ones, but a lot of his films end on a kind of either downbeat or at least ambiguous note. But then the novels, half of which he's written himself, then go and do either sort of epilogues or sort of give you a postscript about what the characters did afterwards, and they're generally quite satisfying. So
okay.
But also Your Name is a fantastic movie that you need to see, Rick. And Suzume was bloody good as well.
I could not be less interested. Like, I saw 5 centimeters per second, which was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in an anime. I hate that. I hate it so much. I saw Children Who Lost Chase Lost Voices, which was terrible. And the last Shinkai movie I saw was Garden of Words, which I found excruciatingly boring. I don't give a shit about your shoes. Hmm. So I don't like him. I don't like. I'm not saying he's. I want to again have this discussion where we separate whether something is bad, whether it's something is something you don't like. Like onions, I don't like onions. The onions are not inherently bad. They're just not something I like because of my individual tastes. Shinkai is obviously touched a nerve with a lot of people, and they love his movies, and that's great. I hope you go enjoy them. I can't. I tried. I can't. I can't stand it.
His most recent 3 movies have been quite different to his earlier ones. For one, they've got exactly a lot. Well, no, but they've got a lot more humor in them. For one, and they also tend to fit more of a sort of action or adventure type movie thing. The Garden of Words is of course, yeah. I can see how you might find that boring if you have no soul. But but Your Name, it's a disaster movie. Weathering with You is a disaster movie, and so is Suzume. And it's got the most spectacular animation. It's incredible, and it's really funny. And the main character, unlike most Shinkai main characters, actually has some oomph to her. She's not passive. She doesn't just sit and let stuff happen to her. She goes out and she drives the plot. She's a fantastic main character. And also there's a three-legged chair that runs away. You know, it's very cute. And there's an evil cat. So you know, what else do you want in a film?
I do remember seeing some like promotional materials for Suzume, and I saw that she had like a giant key. So was that like a keyblade or something?
No.
Dang.
It was probably just perspective. It's just a normal size key.
Oh, okay.
There are magical doors that, if they're not closed, will allow sort of horrible monsters to come and cause earthquakes and disasters and stuff. And she has to close the doors with the magic key. Otherwise, everyone will die.
So she's closing the doors to darkness.
Something like that.
You have to closing really try hard not to convince me that Suzume is not like related to Kingdom Hearts now.
Well, she's closing the door to massive tentacle monsters. So that possibly suggests other anime links.
My.
Wow.
I'm gonna have fun with that clip.
I don't know how to segue from tentacle monsters. So we just move on.
Yes. Please.
So usually here is where we go, the news, but there's no news. So there's only one story, and it's not news. It's just really fucked up. So the creator of Chainsaw Man, who, if you read his work, shouldn't surprise you that this guy has some issues, put a story out that was translated and basically says that when he was in his 20s and he was with his girlfriend and super poor, their pet fish died and his girlfriend wanted him to bury it. So he went to a park to bury it, but the ground was too hard. But when he's, what was that?
That was, I think, my end messing up, but continue.
Okay. So he tried to bury the fish, couldn't do it, decided to leave it there. But then when the ants came and tried to take it away, he felt a rush of affection and ate the dead pet fish. He took a Japanese rice fish that he had as a pet, left on the ground, and then ate it. And then he had an upset stomach the next day and lied to his girlfriend about it. And this is a story he wanted you all to know.
And he felt terrible about lying.
He felt terrible about lying, but not about eating the fish.
Well, I think he probably felt terrible about it, like, physically.
Yeah, he had an upset stomach. But he said the memory of the guilt is for lying is stronger than the guilt of eating a dead pet off the ground after ants have been on it. And there's just so much to unpack there, I don't know where to start.
Yes.
But it explains a lot about Chainsaw Man, I have to admit.
Yes.
He's just not quite right.
Don't follow this man's example.
No, if you have a pet fish that dies, flush it down the toilet.
Yeah. Don't eat it.
Give it to your cat. Maybe. I don't know, but don't take it to a park and eat it.
Imagine if you had a pet puffer fish.
Oh god.
Fugu.
I think it'd actually be kinda hard to eat a puffer fish since it actually has spikes too.
Well, challenging, I suppose, yeah.
Well, that, and it's, like, poisonous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hell of a way to go out, though.
Yeah.
So if you ever read Chainsaw Man and you're like, man, where does he come up with this shit? Remember that he ate his dead pet fish off the ground in a park after ants had tried to take it away and then lied to his girlfriend about it. And that's the man who's writing the manga you're reading.
Oh, he's written quite a lot of unique stuff. Like, have you read Fire Punch at all?
No, I don't. I hadn't even heard of Fire Punch. The only thing I know about is Chainsaw Man and the one-shots that Luigi was covering.
You should read Fire Punch Man.
Fire Punch Man?
No, it's called Fire Punch, and it's pretty effed up, to put it lightly.
Would you say it's like written by a man who eats his dead pet fish?
I think it is exactly written by a guy who ate his pet goldfish.
Jesus Christ.
Is Fire Punch in print in English?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I forgot who published it in English, but I believe it's probably Viz.
Mm. It's almost certainly Viz.
Yeah.
You could probably is it like something you can get, or is it one of those things that's like $500 an issue on eBay?
No. It's just a regular old manga. You could probably find a digital version like online on Viz's website or something. I'd have to look. Yeah.
Amazon have it on Kindle, so...
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I'm just looking at it just now.
There's no better way to watch manga than on Kindle.
Yes. But yeah, Doc, you should read it and let me know how you what you think of it. You'll thank me later, or not.
Okay.
But you'll feel something, one way or the other.
Disgust, horror, disappointment, perhaps, who knows.
All three of those.
How exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. You'll feel something. I'm not sure you'll feel the same way as when you first read Ayakashi Triangle, but feel something.
I felt something when I watched Ayakashi Triangle. God. Thighs. Yeah. You feel kind of how your wife will feel when she finds out how much money you spent at that Japanese bookstore.
Shh. Quiet. She might hear you.
You spent how much on a figurine from Fake Go?
That one only cost £12.
Oh, there you go.
Discounted from a 30. So I think that's quite a good deal there.
I love that you bought Sherlock Hound. Like, remember Sherlock Hound?
I thought I would watch that with my son because Miyazaki made that. At least he made the first 6 episodes or something.
So. Yeah, it goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, anyway, I watched most of Miyazaki stuff with my kids, so I want to be a completist about it.
Yeah. Did they watch Princess Mononoke?
No. Yes, I have watched that with my son. Yeah.
Do you like it? That was my favorite Miyazaki.
That's a magnificent film.
Yeah. As good as Princess Mononoke was, I think my favorite was actually Porco Rosso.
Hmm.
That's a choice.
My favorite is Castle in the Sky, probably because it's the first one that I saw.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, really yeah. Love that film. The first one I saw was Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, but like Mononoke, I always thought was like the pinnacle.
Yeah. I was a bit young when I first watched Mononoke, so I think most of it went over my head, but Porco Rosso was where it was at, and I kind of got it as well.
I watched the butchered version of Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. It was called Warriors of the Wind, and it was on VHS, and it was not great.
Did it have a hilarious, like, Cockney dub?
I can't remember much about the dub, but they changed a lot of the story, and they changed the characters' names, and they cut lots out of it, and it was just incomprehensible.
Oh, they Harmony Golded it.
Can't remember who did it.
All right. Well, let's move on. Before we get to the new shows of the new season, Doc, you went with several small children. Or teenagers, one or the other. You went to a musical concert featuring acts known as Baby Metal and Sabaton.
Yeah, it was the most bonkers gig I've ever been to in my life. So at the moment, Sabaton, who are a Swedish band who mostly do songs based on war. They are doing a tour called The Tour to End All Tours, which, funnily enough, is based mainly around their World War One songs. But they had as their backup support acts Lordi, who are a Finnish band who dress up in rubber suits as monsters, and Baby Metal, who sing high high velocity metal music with squeaky voices. So that was fun. I mean, I like baby metal a lot, and my kids like Sabaton a lot, so it seemed like a no-brainer to go and see them. So that was the most exhausting, but most amazing gig I've ever seen. Just because baby metal were a support act, they only played 7 songs, unfortunately, but they were very glittery and bouncy while they did it, so that was a lot of fun. I mean, that main singer, Sue Metal, she's got the most amazingly powerful voice. She's a tiny little person. You maybe don't appreciate it when you see her like on a video or something, but when she's just right in front of you on the stage, she's, I don't know, she's probably like only 5 foot tall or something. Hugely powerful voice. So lots of fun. And then afterwards, Sabaton just came on and just sort of fired all sorts of weapons at the audience. So there was bangs and flashes and fire, like so much fire that I felt like my eyebrows were being singed. Because we were right down near the front. And then at one point they were gassing us with, I don't know if it was mustard gas or bromine or something, but that was that was interesting. Like the main singer just had this big gun with a hose attached to it, all the smoke coming out of it, and they were singing songs about Russians being gassed. So I guess they were just gassing the audience for fun.
You could say they were gaslighting the audience.
Yeah. And there's a big tank, of course, because that's like the centerpiece of their set, with a drummer standing on top of it. And then they wheeled out the Red Baron's biplane at one point, and then they set everything on fire, and it was like, okay.
You got a tank, you got a big hose, a lot of phallic stuff in there.
Yeah. People with flamethrowers. So baby metal were like a band from another planet. I'm not quite sure what Sabaton were, but they were fun. And Lordi were very odd. I think the best lyrics of the evening came from a Lordi song where they said, the devil is a loser, but he's my bitch.
I'm pretty sure that was the theme of my church summer camp in 1997.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, we should sing this in church. That'd be great. I'll speak to my minister.
So were you the oldest person there, by the way?
No, there was quite a wide range of people. There were lots of folks in their 20s, 30s, 40s, even older. So, yeah.
Rock on.
Yeah. Definitely.
Honestly, that sounds excruciating, but I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, we were standing up for about 6 hours, so my legs hurted like hell afterwards.
My door was like, by the time it was over?
My ears were ringing.
That's a good concert, then.
My daughter was like, Dad, you didn't jump up and down so much. I was like, yes, I know, but you were. And how do you feel? She was like, I can hardly move. That's why I wasn't jumping up and down, darling.
If only Ghost had been there, too.
Yeah. Well, my son went to see Ghost in Glasgow a year or two ago. He said they were great.
Yeah, okay.
You sound dubious.
I've heard Ghost. Great isn't the term I would use, but like, I understand that it's not my scene, dog.
They're like my daughter's favorite band right now.
I mean, I will give them points. They have a very effective gimmick, and they stick to it pretty good, so I have to respect it.
I would go see them if my daughter wanted me to come with her.
All right, and before we dip into into the actual shows, so Crunchyroll now has the Taima reincarnated as a slime movie, The Scarlet Bond. I just watched it on Crunchyroll. Doc, I believe you saw it in theaters. Did you like it?
It was okay. Very much standard shonen anime. One of these things that's got nothing to do with the ongoing plot. They just make it so they can make extra money. But it looked shiny.
Oh, yeah. They had some great like action pieces in there. It was a little too much of the same old Rumoru shows up and like hand waves and things are solved. Like, oh, I'll just magic the shit out of that. I think the only thing that might be relevant is we met in there one of the old ancient demons.
Yeah.
Who knows if that'll come back or not.
I don't know. And there's one point where Rimuru can't fix it, so somebody else fixes it instead.
Yeah, yeah.
Just with and more then, magical hand-wavy shite.
Yeah, you know, he can't fix it, so somebody else fixes it, which costs them their life, but then they just take that back anyway. So there's no consequences.
No consequences. It's incredibly frustrating.
But everything works out.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, though, it's okay. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you've not missed anything. But yeah, if you've got a spare couple of hours, there's worse ways to spend it.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's start with the weirdest show of the season. Or actually, you know what? This is a good season for weird shit.
Mm.
So let's start with the funny weird one. Let's talk about Kamikatsu. Oh, at a pizza, Lord. You and I are watching this. Yes. How are you finding it?
It is so weird in that it is so bad in places, but it feels like it's done bad. Like that badness is done on purpose. It's amazing. I love it, and I also hate it so much.
Okay.
It's so, so stupid.
Yeah, but it's also incredibly degenerate too. Like,
oh, it's so degenerate. Like the guy who's super into lolis, that's why he worships the loli god.
Yeah.
Every time the guy's on scene, I'm like, I want to fast forward through this.
Yes. But to get everybody up to speed, it's another isekai, but the main gimmick is basically the main character got isekai to a world without gods, technically, and then after some bad shit happens, he summons a god from, I think,
it's the god of the cult he was in our world, which is hilarious.
Well, it's Mitama, which I think is like a Japanese deity, but I don't know the specifics behind it because I didn't feel like looking it up.
I'm pretty sure it's not an accurate representation anyway.
Oh, most definitely. But the main gimmick to this story is basically the main character is trying to gather followers and basically make a cult around Mitama. And just the way he does it is interesting, but also very funny. Like, I will say, the first episode was pretty much broke my neck with how hard it whiplashed between really degenerate comedy and then people getting executed and hung.
Yeah, the tone of the show is all over the place. Like, sometimes it's a wacky, wildly inappropriate, you know, comedy with some real savage satire of religion. And then it gets, like, super fucking serious and people are getting executed and everybody has to die. I'm like, wait. Yeah. The motherfuckers got hung. Like, they didn't almost kill them. They killed people and then brought them back. And I was like,
yes.
I was, damn, that was really harsh.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like that, like, whiplash is kind of misrepresentative of the show because the latest two episodes of the series have pretty much been comedy focused, which it actually does fairly well. Like,
yeah, the turning of the knight into like a hot Gyaru and then putting her in continuously more ridiculous outfits.
Yes.
It's wildly inappropriate, but it's really funny.
Yeah. It is so freaking like that, like, is really bad. But it's just done in such a ridiculous and over the top way that you can't really take it seriously. And yeah. And then there's the, like, at times the show looks like complete ass. Like, there are a couple scenes which basically look like they're taken straight out of a visual novel, like with the 3/4 pose and then the slightly faded background. And it's like, this looks like absolute shit. And then it has some of the worst CG monsters I've seen since, I don't know, RE4 Eta, basically. And
yeah, it's weird that they switched to CG for just that.
Yeah. Well, also, there's the CG, like, pet mascot thing.
Oh, yeah, that thing is so weird.
It looks decent, but it's so out of place.
The CG is actually fine, but it's so out of, it looks like something is on the desktop of the person who animated. You know, yeah. It's like it's not attached to the scene at all.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like that's done purposefully, so you kind of, it just feels weird, and it's just kind of funny to see move around in, like, a world it doesn't really fit into. And it's just so funny. And then there's just the regular jokes that are ridiculously good. Like, there's one gag at the very at the beginning of the third episode where essentially this villager named Ricky is kind of tasked with fending off one of these hoarded CG beasts. And then our main character swoops in to basically give him a weapon to fight the beast, but it doesn't. The weapon is complete shit, and Ricky is just sent flying. And then the main character is like, Ricky! In the most silly way ever. And it's just like, Oh god, this is stupid. And the show knows it's stupid, and I love it.
Yeah, it's you know, it's like in the Peter Grill territory of god, this is stupid, but I'm really finding it funny.
Yeah, and it's just interesting because there are some flashes of like really good animation, like in the second episode where the main character is kind of having a mental breakdown, and then Miitama, the puny god, pops up right next to him, and then he just dunks her into the ground, and it's just really funny.
My favorite running joke in the show is that he never shows up on her follower count.
Ah, yeah, that was a really good gag.
That one, every time it happens, it makes me laugh.
Yeah, and then there's that one scene where we're in the liminal space of the pervy character. I think his name's Roy. And he's like imagining what it's like to be a follower of Miitama, and it's just so well animated for some dumb reason.
It's like the worst scene to animate well too.
Yeah, it's awful, but it's so funny.
That guy's gross.
He is very gross.
Anyway, if you're a degenerate like me and pizza, you'll probably like that show.
Yeah.
And we know we have plenty of degenerates in our audience.
Yeah, I'm surprised Luigi hasn't watched it yet.
He will at some point.
Maybe.
When he's, you know, not sick because he made inappropriate contact. He got cooties, you know. That's why he's sick.
Yeah.
He didn't get his cootie shot on the playground.
I don't know. I thought it was because he ate somebody's goldfish off the ground.
Yeah, he ate his pet goldfish off the ground and didn't tell his girlfriend about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking about dead goldfish, on to Skip and Loafer. Now, this show... It has nothing to do with dead goldfish. I don't have to transition from that.
Yeah, but it is probably the best show of the season. Well, on Country Roll, at least.
I'm really surprised by Skip and Loafer because I feel like almost everyone's watching it and almost everyone likes it and it's getting a lot of good buzz. And it had no buzz coming into the season, but it's like a pretty significant hit, at least with our group.
Yeah.
I don't even like rom-coms. I thought it was fantastic because the characters are so... I don't want to say subtle. I said they're restrained. They act like people.
Yeah. Like, the whole performance feels very grounded.
That's a good word. Grounded. Like, there's that episode where, like, she finds out that other girl's trying to sabotage her. And she doesn't, like, freak out and, like, panic. And it doesn't become a big scene. She just kind of deals with it. And I'm like, this is how people actually behave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, the best line in that... sequence was basically the one girl told her like a rumor about the main guy. He's like, oh, I got it. And then she's like, I wish I didn't know though. And it's just like such a good subtle line that kind of, it doesn't take a lot of effort, but it just gives you a lot of insight into the character, into the main girl's character, which is very engaging.
What do you think, Doc?
I think this is a lovely show. The main character, she's just so adorable.
She's so getting. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, she's clearly quite shy and introverted, but she still wants to go out there and meet people and make friends, and she's really accepting of people. And she embarrasses herself, but then she gets over it and she just gets on with it. And I love the opening sequence with her dancing with the boy. It's just
that's
so
great.
The opening is so adorable.
Lovely. Especially the way that they kind of just sort of move and compliment one another. And she like trips over and gets embarrassed. And it's just really, really, really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a well-observed show. There's definitely they act like real people. And all of the characters, you know, they're all different. They've all got their own hang-ups and flaws, but they all complement each other very well. And they remind me of people I've met in real life.
I think that's what it is. Like you feel like you know these people, which means that they're, you know, that's a good sign of really good writing.
Yeah. And I feel like it's also so well written because it does introduce a few little conflicts between the characters that basically get resolved the same episode, but it's really interesting to see how they overcome these difficulties or differences. Mm-hmm. And it's just so rare to see like a good, like such a good show performed so well and so well animated. Like, yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching this like weekly since it is just so engaging and so good.
I'm trying to be careful how I phrase this next part, but like some of the character designs, especially the main character, I feel like they look and feel more Japanese than anime characters tend to look. They tend to draw anime characters that look just kind of like white people. Yeah. But like the style, especially the main character, they feel more like they look kind of more like Japanese kids. Mm-hmm. At least I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I just a feeling I got. And that, I don't know, that just helps with immersion. Also, really, there's one scene I really love with the main guy when he's turning down the drama club guy, and he's still smiling, but he's just oozing malice.
Yeah,
it's like I don't want to fucking talk about it. Thank you. And I was like, damn, that was great.
Yeah, it was
great. Everything about that scene was great.
Everything about that episode was phenomenal. Like, I love how the drama leader guy was introduced, and then we got a little explanation to why he was wearing high heels the entire time. And then,
I love that they waited to explain why he was wearing high heels.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. And I just love that complete, the wholeness to the rating. Like, it doesn't miss out on any of the details. And it's really subtle with how it presents certain elements of its show. And it's just, I think that makes it a lot more immersive. And it also cuts down on exposition, which, thank God.
Yeah, plus you get like, they're so good at doing scenes that frame the characters perfectly. Like, everything you need to know about the two main characters at this point in the show is the scene with the self-introductions where hers is hilarious, and then he makes another joke to follow up on it, which takes the pressure off her.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've never seen a more perfect encapsulation of two characters in one scene before.
Yeah, it was fantastic, but also it was hilarious.
It was really funny. I love that she has her whole life planned to, like, where she's going to work and then to retire, and then we're going to scatter her ashes when she dies.
Yes. She is so funny and so adorable. I just love how that joke was presented. It's like, I'm born to lead. And then everybody's like, oh shit, there's the lightning bolt with everybody. Like, oh, what?
And just, aren't you the girl who threw up?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, just, so many interesting things without going too over the top. And I just love it. Love the show for it. It is so good. If you aren't watching this show, you probably should check it out because it is just that good.
Yeah, I don't blame people if they're not watching it because you look at it, you're like, oh, it's a little soft rom-com, but nah, this is a step above.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we should probably talk about one of the big headliners of this season. People were very excited. The Doc was very excited. Unfortunately, Doc is also the only one watching it at this particular grouping. But I believe Pete is familiar with the manga, so you guys could talk about it. Let's talk about Oshi no Ko, the big heater of the season.
Yeah. Yes. This was like an incredible coup for High Dive to get this show. And they've just reported that it's the biggest opening numbers for them for any streaming property ever. So I don't know if people have signed up to High Dive just to watch Oshi no Ko. I don't know. But yeah, this is a ride, this thing.
So yeah.
It's written by, well, it's got two authors. So it's got the Aka Akasaka, who wrote Kaguya-sama, but it's also got what's her name? The one who wrote
Scum's Wish,
yeah, Mingo something or other. So both, you know, seemingly quite different types of stories, but if you look at it closely, they both kind of feature kind of scheming characters who maybe are a bit more than they initially seem. And this show is definitely more than it initially seems. Because it starts off with this guy who's a gynecologist in a sort of country hospital. And he's a big idol fan. He's into this particular idol called Ai Hoshino, who turns up pregnant. She's only 16. And if anybody who knows the Japanese idol industry knows that if an idol even looks like they've got a boyfriend, they'll be punished or dropped or whatever, or they'll be fired. Their fans get really, really upset. So she goes to this hospital in the middle of nowhere to give birth so that nobody can find out that she's had babies. And he's going to be her gynecologist. But then, you know, and this isn't boiling it too much because this happens in the first 50 minutes or so. He gets killed. He dies and reincarnates as one of her twin babies. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Sure, yeah, why not? Like, you
And the other twin is his former cancer patient who died, a young girl who was also a fan of this particular idol. So this idol girl's twin babies are both have their memories of their previous lives. So they're both adults in baby form, and they're both like diehard fans of this idol.
Well, I think the girl was actually like in her teens, not
yeah.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, she was like in her teens, that's right, yeah. But, and you think that sounds crazy, but that's only the beginning. It gets even more crazy, and I don't really want to spoil why it goes nuts, but there is a reason that the first episode runs to 82 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes until about then for the sort of major first twist to happen, which then sets up the rest of the story. So you think the story is going in one direction, and it takes a complete 180 degree turn and goes off somewhere else completely batshit.
Yes.
It's quite frankly amazing. The scenes leading up to that the part where the twist happens are so, certainly in the anime, it's just so overwhelmingly emotional that, you know, this show made me cry. And I've read the manga. I haven't quite read quite as far as Pizza has, but I've certainly read the first few volumes worth. And this show really hits hard. It's incredibly cynical about the entertainment industry. It's very dark, especially when it comes to people's motivations and the way that the entertainment industry treats young women, chews them up, spits them out, leaves them with almost nothing to show for their effort. It's just fascinating. I would never want my daughter to be an idol.
Yeah.
Certainly not after watching this show. But it's amazing. It's definitely, this is an unusual anime, in a good way. It's not quite what you expect it. And really, if you've not read spoilers about it, don't. Just go and watch it. And if after the end of that 82 minutes you think that's not for you, well, there's something wrong with you. But don't judge it based on the first 20 minutes or so, which is, I guess, why they made it the length of almost four episodes jammed together.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, like, from what I gathered, the first episode pretty much covers the very first... Well, is it the first volume or basically the first chapter, which was extra long in the manga?
Yeah, I think it covers most of the first volume, I think.
Yeah, because that's the whole gynecologist stuff. But yeah, it...
We need more anime gynecologists.
Yeah. I guess.
And I just found a title for this episode.
That's for me to decide, not you.
Yeah, you know, that's a good episode title, though.
Yeah, I've got the first volume of the manga in front of me just now. Yeah, it basically covers the entirety of the first volume, and it ends basically just with the last scene of that first volume.
It's
got an incredible soundtrack as well, as you'd expect. So the opening and ending songs are just fantastic.
Yeah, didn't Otto do the opening, which is called Idol?
I'm not sure who does them, but they're really good anyway.
Yes. No, it's Yao Sobi.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who anybody is that does openings unless they're Bump of Chicken or Man on a Mission.
Oh, man. We need to get you into the anime, the Japanese pop scene.
No, thank you. I have enough hobbies.
No, you need another one, man.
Man with a Mission, they're coming to Scotland soon. I'm thinking about going to see them.
Nice.
Especially if they do Raise Your Flag.
Yes, or Database.
So, like, do we know how many episodes this thing is going for? Is it two core? Do we have any information like that?
I think High Dive says it's 11 episodes, so 10 full, not like normal length episodes, and then this first one. So I think it's essentially like 13-14 episodes in length.
Yeah, I wonder where it's going to end then.
Oh, that was my question. Is there a place where you guys know the story would naturally end for a first season?
Yes. There's a lot of them, right, Doc?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, there's the obvious one. If I don't know, I haven't watched the anime yet, but if they've already kind of showed off the foreshadowing-ish scenes at the very beginning, because there are Like, it, there's a very obvious stuff that happens if you've read the manga.
There are some central mysteries to this that should be paid off much, much later.
Yeah, like, my only issue with the manga is that it moves at a glacial pace because it loves exploring, like, every facet of, like, production, like, entertainment production. And yes, it is fascinating, but on the other hand, I kind of want to get back to the, like, main plot.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, it's a good journey, and I'll be... It kind of just makes me want to wait till the series is complete before I before I actually go back and watch it, which I'm probably going to end up doing this season because I'm watching so much already.
It sounds kind of heavy to binge.
Yeah, I think it might make you mentally unwell if you binge this.
So trying to binge Vinland Saga, like, that's not a good idea.
Oh, no.
Is that a challenge I hear?
I mean, you can do it, but, like, you're not going to feel very good by the end of it.
I love feeling like shit after watching a show.
I'm almost four episodes behind with Vinland Saga, so I think I may have to watch them all, and then I will become unwell.
Every time I finish an episode of Vinland Saga, I have the exact same reaction. Man, that was fucked up. I can't wait for the next episode. These poor motherfuckers cannot cut a break for nothing. They can't. Not a single break. Anytime it looks like they're about to be happy, somebody comes and fucks it up. And I'm like, that's just too real. That's too real for me.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're not talking about Vinland Saga today. But let's talk about what I call anime Men in Black. Let's talk about the Marginal Service, which, if you listened to our preview podcast, is the show with all the world's most ridiculous names, like Brian Knight Rider and Bolts Dexter.
Dexter is unironically one of the best characters.
So good. All the characters are... This show is so silly, but it loves... It knows exactly what it's doing, and it's having a great time doing it. And it's completely it's ridiculous, and I fucking loved every second of it. I loved the talking squirrel that tried to eat his dick.
It was great.
Oh, God. It's just a standard, like, guy gets recruited... You know, for secret government thing, it's all everyone in there is crazy. All the missions are crazy, but like making them wear like the Ghostbuster suits, well, and they won't explain to him why.
No, they explain to him why. It's basically they look like construction workers. So when when they have to cordon off like an area, they look legitimately like construction workers.
Yeah, I kinda except they're color coordinated.
Yeah. But over, like the main suits themselves look like construction worker stuff. That's why they're wearing hard hats and everything.
So far, my favorite part is Bolts Dexter and the English guy teaming up because those guys are hilarious.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. That scene in the second episode where it's like a scene straight out of Thor and Ragnarok where Thor throws Loki at me.
My favorite part is they're trying to sneak up someone, so he covers himself in mud. He's like, this is what you do in jungle warfare. And then it obviously doesn't work because he just walked out in the open.
Yeah.
It fucking killed me.
Doc,
you have to watch the show.
Yeah, it is so silly. And
it's so fucking silly.
Yeah. And people are just like getting thrown out of buildings consistently and getting hit with cars. It's amazing. I love it.
Their helicopter gets hit with an RPG and they just jump out of the helicopter. They're like, this is what we expected to happen.
Yep.
Okay.
I can't stress this enough. There is a talking squirrel and he's a dick.
And he tries to eat the main character's dick.
Do you want me to bite your wiener off? Is an actual line from this show.
Yes. It's amazing.
I love this show.
Dude, the gag with the rocket launcher as well. Oh, we designed
fire from both sides. People kept holding it the wrong way, so we just made it shoot from both sides. It makes sense in the dumbest possible. It makes sense if you don't think about it.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Which
is exactly this is the nature of this entire show.
Yes. Like, you're going into a show where the main character's name is Brian Knight Rider. It's so
Brian
stupid.
Knight Rider. That's not even the best name in the show. I think it's probably Bolts Dexter.
Yes. Bolts
Dexter. Or Lyra Candy Heart.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But basically, it is anime Men in Black, where there's evil aliens, and then the humans trying to, like, regulate them, and then some good aliens. which who haven't really shown up besides the dick-eating squirrel? But the
Borderlanders, they call them.
Yeah. But I'm very interested to see where this show goes, because I believe they just in the second episode, they introduced the main villain, and he's basically just a pop star, and it's really funny for no reason.
Yeah, the head of the evil organization is the world's most popular pop star. Whose name is Rubber Suit? His name is Rubber Suit.
Okay.
And no one reacted to that in the show like that was a stupid name.
It's amazing.
God, I love the show. All right. So let's switch from that completely ridiculous show to a show that is it's kind of disturbing. Doc, would you like to talk about Heavenly Delusion and explain to me what the fuck is going on?
I have no idea what is going on, but I love it.
Should I buy, should I subscribe to Disney Plus to actually watch it?
In America, you have to get Hulu to watch it.
Yeah. No.
As long as you should, yes. It's worth
it. As long as you watch Summertime Rendering as well.
Which is also on Hulu.
I'm still not going to shut up about it. So yeah, this show, well, it's known as Heavenly Delusion, but for some reason Disney or Hulu have it listed as Tengoku Daimakyo,
yeah,
which I guess means the same thing. I don't know. This is one of these sort of sci-fi fantasy mystery shows that keeps a lot of its cards really, really close to its chest. I mean, four episodes in, I have no idea what's going on, but it's great. It has, you know, people with non-consensual brain switch surgery. It has children's creepy fish monster designs becoming real. It has monsters eating human beings and dissolving their flesh. It has like some creepy scientific research place full of creepy children and that are being experimented upon or something. I don't really know. But it just, if anything, it reminds me a lot of From the New World, which was a show from about, I don't know, what, 10 years ago or something. But I only recently watched that and really, really liked it. Kind of dark, unsettling.
It's very disturbing. Show. Very disturbing.
So, yeah, this is very similar in tone to that. It's got some incredible animation. It looks really, really good. It's one of these sort of, I guess you'd call it a sort of mystery box show to be kind of reductive about it. But are you up to date?
It really is. It's got layers, like an ogre, like it's unveiling things. It's one of those shows where you're missing information and context, so you keep watching. So on a rewatch, it may not have the same impact. But right now, where you're trying to figure out what's going on, it's really fucking good.
Although sometimes rewatching these shows is almost like watching another show entirely, because you know what's going on, you know why it's happening. It's like,
yeah, it does. It recontextualizes everything.
I wonder if this might be one of these shows, but it's really, really high quality. I have no idea why Disney got this.
It doesn't fit the brand at all, man.
No. I think they haven't advertised it in any way. Does anyone know about it?
No, I only know about it because, you know, I'm a giant weeb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they put, like you said, they put the title in Japanese, so people scrolling by are going to be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, that looks pretty, but I don't understand what the title is.
Yeah. Mm. They should watch the first episode, though, because it'll hook. It's such a weird mix of, like, From the New World and almost like a Walking Dead kind of post-apocalyptic journey thing.
Yeah.
And The Promised Neverland, kids in an unsettling nursery where things aren't what they appear. It's just, and every episode gets weirder and weirder. And spoiler alert, please fast forward to the next timestamp if you would not want to be spoiled. And you probably don't want to be for this. His brain is in his sister's body. That's so fucking weird. Like, all the implications of that is so fucking weird.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they showed a scene where he was grabbing his boobs. I'm pretty sure that happened. It was only on scene for like on screen for like a couple seconds, but I'm pretty sure I saw that. I can't blame him. That's probably what everybody would do.
Yeah.
But like, they put his brain in his sister's body, and then like the other guy was hitting on her because he didn't know that, and it's just like the implications of that are so fucked up.
Yeah, I'm actually a guy. You think, oh, this is like a trans narrative. No, he's actually a guy. His brain has been stuck in his sister's body. He's like, oh.
Yeah, okay. Not only did they put his brain in a woman's body, it's his sister's body, which makes it so much worse.
Yeah. Oh. Then where did they put his sister's brain?
That's a good question that he doesn't know.
Yeah, no, we don't know either.
We don't know what happened to his sister. All we know is like he almost got eaten, and then he woke up in the hospital in his sister's body. We don't even know how his sister died. Because they didn't show us that.
Huh.
Mm.
So, at least not yet. That's one of the, like, the 50 mysteries the show is unraveling.
Yeah. We'll find the horrific truth later, I'm sure.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, the show kind of reminds me of Made in Abyss, in that the answers to our questions are always bad.
Yeah. It's not quite as cute as Made in Abyss, though, so there's that.
Yeah, it's a little bit less visually horrifying, because a lot of characters are adults.
Yeah, they're not little squishy moe blobs.
But is just the body horror good?
There is some serious body horror in there.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially the babies.
It's grim. Oh, the babies, no.
I can't even talk about the babies. I won't even spoil the babies. Watch the show.
What the hell? Just what the hell?
I don't know. I don't understand what's going on in that show, but that's what makes it great.
Don't be silly. Babies don't have faces.
Yeah, and then she climbs a wall like a lizard, and she kind of looks like a lizard. I'm like, I see what's happening here.
Yeah.
I don't want to know the answer, though.
All
just imagine that you're a guy, like a teenage guy, and you're traveling with this fairly attractive girl, and you have feelings for her, and then you confess, and he's like, sorry, my brain is actually a guy's brain. And I don't mean that in, like, a transgender way. I mean, like, my brain was literally... I had a guy's body, and it was put in this body without my consent. Like, I don't know how you go. You just never talk about it again. I don't think. I wouldn't broach that topic again.
Probably not.
Like, let's just never talk about how you're actually a dude, and that's your sister's body. It's the sister part that really elevates it.
I'm so glad we're not going to talk about my one hit kill sister.
Why not? That show's perfectly stupid.
No. No. No.
It's very wincesty.
No.
No. Ew.
She's way, way too into her brother. Let's just
put no. it on. Moving on, please.
I just don't watch anime that's like that. I just, no. I wouldn't even start it.
Yeah, it's got a lot of boob.
Even with that.
No. Moving on. Then.
I draw the line incest boob.
I kind of want to talk about another show that me and Pizza are watching. That's really, like I said, this is a great season for weird shit. There's another show that's completely gonzo, I think is the right word. In fact, if gonzo still existed, they would probably be making this, and that's Magical Destroyer.
Yes. I feel like this show is an acid trip.
It's just so punk. It's like the word I can think of. Like the OP and ED are so weird.
Yeah.
They're weird, but they're really interesting to watch. And like the show itself, it kind of reminds, like, we had a show not that long ago about like otaku defending Akihabara from forces trying to wipe out otakudom. But this show is a lot less like that show took that as a premise, and it was like a show that made sense. This show is nuts.
Yes, but I feel like it's doing like moving in a way that has like a clear point. Like, the ending is, like, super symbolic. It's insane. And it just kind of makes me think, like, is this, like, all of a simulation? Or is this all in some guy's head?
It's entirely possible. I mean, it really feels like...
It's like a fever dream.
That is a perfect description. It is a fever dream about, like, society trying to crush the dreams of nerds. I did love when they pulled up in a bus to, like, look at them like they were in a zoo.
Yeah, like...
No, it's the cringe mobiles.
Like, there's clearly a message, like, about government suppressing minorities or something. But it's just so drenched in this, like, weird stew that kind of makes you think, is that really what they're trying to say? And there's just so many interconnected stuff that it's like, I'm really interested to see the mysteries behind this show.
Because, like, but there's mysteries also, and there's just... obviously hidden lore, but there's also, like, they're also making fun and or celebrating otaku and Japanese anime tropes and otaku culture, but they're also just sometimes being weird just to be weird because it's fun.
Yeah, like, the main antagonists, like, are all dressed up in, like, the PN emoji, like, helmets. It's so weird. And then there's just, like, this one... scene where they're battling the pink magical girl, and it's basically a battle in her liminal space after doing LSD,
Yeah, basically, they took a drug that connects their brains. By the way, Doc, there is a crazy pink-haired girl who only speaks in Gobo Gobo.
Gold. Wearing a gas mask.
You should actually watch. I'd actually love it if you watch the show, Doc, because I'd love to hear your thoughts on.
Same
it's,
here.
It's so trigger. It's like trigger taking acid. It's so crazy.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah,
I really enjoy watching it every week because it's just like it's such an experience. I'm like, wow, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, like it's definitely the most unique show this season. Like, you pretty much won't see anything like it. Like, I don't know, anywhere else on this season or even past couple of years, to be honest.
It just because I think I forgot to describe it for people who haven't watched it yet. Basically, there's a guy. His name is Otaku Hero. Otaku culture has been crushed by an evil organization who all wear the weird heads you're talking about. Yeah. He leads the resistance from a ruined Akihabara with the assistance of three extremely odd magical girls. And I don't know how to describe it other than that. Like, it's completely punk in the weirdest fucking way. It's great. It's like an art project almost.
Yeah. I think that's a good description for it. And it's just so weird. And you really have to watch it for yourself to see, like, to form your own opinion and just see how freaking weird this is, because it's really hard to describe in words, because, like,
one of those things that you can't really put in words what's going on, and it's too visual.
Yeah, like, it does a lot of speaking through its visuals, which I think is a really good thing, but I feel like we also won't get the full picture of what it's trying to say until the series is over, or until more of the twists are revealed. And we're only three episodes in, so it's going to be a while till that happens.
I mean, and there's, I think, this kind of show, there's a good chance you might never get all the answers you want from it.
Yeah. We might get an ending where one of the main characters cuts one of the other main characters into 666 pieces and then scatter them to the wind, and there's no follow-up on it.
Yeah. It might be like, hey, and I hope you enjoyed the ride. I'll be like, you know what? I probably did.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the show to, like, pull out, I don't know, wood puppets and start blowing them up or something.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised at this point.
Yeah. I am referencing Panty and Stocking, if you didn't know.
I never actually watched that.
You should watch it.
We're talking about another show that's a highlight of my week now, is Magic and Bustles, also just called Mashal in all caps. And it is basically Harry Potter if One Punch Man. And it's fucking hysterical.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it's not good. Like,
oh, no, I can't agree. I enjoy it so much.
Yeah. Why don't you explain in your thoughts on it, and then I'll explain mine.
Well, I mean, it's just like they did this thing where, like, you know, he doesn't fit into society because he can't do magic. So it's basically straight out of Black Clover. But then he goes to a magic school because he has to be the number one to fit into society or whatever. But he can't do magic, but he's so ridiculously jacked that he just solves every problem by slapping or hitting things. Like, somebody shoots magic at him, he just slaps it away and then slams the guy's head into the ground. And he's like, he's got this completely deadpan, like, Saitama thing going on, where he doesn't quite ever understand what's going on, but he just kind of walks through life and solves the problems, and everybody else just kind of deals with the hurricane. And it's very much making fun of, like, magic high schools and Harry Potter specifically. There are call-outs specifically to Harry Potter. There's riding brooms, there's Quidditch, you know, there's that kind of shit. And, like, I remember one time he can't do magic, so he picks up a wand. They're like, what's he going to do with that? So he throws it at the guy and almost kills him with it. And it's just, it's fucking hilarious. Like, it's comedy, so maybe it doesn't work for you, Pizza. And if you don't find it funny, the show's not going to work. But I find it really, really amusing.
Yeah, I personally don't think it's very good because it doesn't do a very good job of setting up, like, its expectations. Like, if I had to describe it, it feels like the author just took a bunch of manga and comedy elements that he likes and kind of just threw them all together into this manga in a haphazard way. And what I mean about this is it doesn't really set an expectation. Well, it doesn't really do a good job of setting our expectation of, like, the general powers or the power structure in the world. It just kind of presents Mashal as, like, the super buff guy who can do basically magic with his through physical feats. while everybody else is kind of like a sorcerer. So what ends up happening is basically we're getting stuff where it's stuff out of it's I'm Sakamoto, where the main character is just doing a bunch of ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, except it's
funny. But we're expected to think it's funny, but I kind of felt like, why can't other people just do what Mashal's doing? Like, what is so special and what's so subversive about this scene? Like, I kind of feel like it's trying to throw out a punchline without setting up the joke. And I personally just felt like all the humor just fell flat on me because I was like, huh, this ridiculous thing happened, but is it really a subversive, or how's this really supposed to be funny? And I guess the other character's reaction to, like, Mash's actions are supposed to be funny, but I kind of feel like that's kind of the standard for if you want to pretend you're, like, want people to laugh. It's kind of like the laugh track in soap operas to me. So
to me, it's the same. The setup is the expectation of, like, this is like a thing that happens in these animes, and then he just solves it. It's like the One Punch Man thing, where the guy gets all ripped and buff, and, you know, does that his big monologue to set up like a big fight, and then Saitama beats him in one punch. It's that kind of joke.
Yeah, I understand.
And it works for me.
Well, I understand that, but One Punch Man also had a lot of other layers to actually support those jokes. Like, Saitama wasn't actually satisfied with actually doing all those crazy feats. So whenever he kind of just solved it in one punch, he was, like, visibly upset. Like, he wanted a challenge, and that was the joke. Like, he solved something, but he wasn't satisfied by solving it. That was hilarious. And that was the very first scene of that series. But here we're basically just following Mash, who is really not interesting at all. Like, he has, like, maybe two or three character traits to his name, and he doesn't really interact with the world in any interesting ways. He just kind of is like, oh, I did that, and then he just moves on. And yeah, that deadpan humor can work, but I feel like it doesn't really engage you or really hook you onto the humor. It's just like, huh, I'm there. And yeah, I kind of feel like,
strenuously disagree.
I don't know. There's just no, I don't feel like he has any interior depth to him. He basically just likes cream puffs, works out a lot, and wants to have a normal life with his grandpa, which is fine. But
motherfucker loves cream puffs.
Yeah, but he just doesn't really emote or react or think about anything else, which is my problem. Like, say Saitama or even Mob Psycho, they had a lot of other things going on in their head that made it really engaging to interact with them or see what they do. And I just kind of feel like Mash kind of skips all over that and gets to basically season 2 of One Punch Man, where Saitama is basically the fix everything button, and he really isn't emoting at all. He's just a win condition, basically. And yeah, that's not. And I feel like the other parts of the manga aren't really interesting enough to actually get me engaged with the manga. Like, we've had kind of like the shitty stereotypical cops who pretty much get beaten down in one episode. And then there's the evil Malfoy knockoff with the evil vice principal.
Yeah, and then he just beats the shit out of him.
Yeah. But I don't know.
So like, you can expel me, but I can bury you. That's just, yeah. That's okay, whatever.
Well,
you have
Crystal, it's fine. Well, that is a punchline, but I kind of feel like that's a bad sign of, like, Mash's characters. Like, if he can't get his way, he'll just solve it through force, which is kind of an issue.
Yes, that is the joke. Yes.
But I don't personally find that's funny. It's kind of an it problem, actually.
Okay.
Like
I don't know. I can't make you, I can't convince somebody to find something funny. I encourage everybody to watch the show and make their own opinion. Also, check out the ED, which is like my favorite ED or opening from this season, and it is extremely catchy.
I will say that Mashal has really good music. Like, I love the rap, like all the rap music and stuff used in the series. It's great and also extremely corny.
Yeah,
it's so good. Yeah, it's just, I feel like the rest of the package is really not great. Though I will say, I did read the manga like ages ago, and I think the anime improves on it so much. It is really good. Like, if you want to experience this series, just watch the anime. The manga is so much worse.
So we've hit on one of the big ones from this season, Oshi no Ko. So let's swing back to obviously the other one, one of the most popular things on Earth. It's Demon Slayer season 3. Doc, have you seen? You saw the first episode in that movie presentation they released. Have you seen the rest of them? Are you caught up?
No, I just saw that first one.
What did you think of how it started?
The opening sequence in the stupid CGI place was overlong and just excruciating. Apart from that,
really?
It was fine.
I love the Infinite Castle. I think it's a really cool visual.
I'd say I loved it for the first minute or two, and then when they kept on swooshing and moving through it all the time just to pad out the time, I just thought, this is ridiculous.
So you're not watching it, right, Pizza?
Nope, I haven't watched Demon Slayer since like the very first episode. It's like, oh, this isn't for me, and then I never continued it.
Well, I'm current on it, and I'm really liking where this arc is going. Also, of course, we have the Love Hashira, who is fun to watch.
The Boob Hashira.
The Boob Hashira and Thigh High Stockings Hashira. She's a visual splendor, let's put it that way.
Exquisitely animated.
Yeah, they even... I love that afterwards I found out that this scene where she's in the hot springs apparently was a huge controversy. People were really worried they were going to get their boobs. You know, the same people who worry that they took Ashley's panties out of RE4, you know. But they put it in there. I mean, obviously, you know, it was somewhat censored in the anime. But that scene's in there for all you hardcore boob enthusiasts who don't seem to understand that hentai exists, if you need that kind of thing.
I mean, Demon Slayer is always going to look amazing now because that's one of the ways it's marketed. So
I mean, it's fucking outstanding.
They put so much effort into making it just look incredible for a story which is really very, very basic. I mean, it's entertaining. The story is competent, but it's going to be the last thing I'm going to get around to watching this season because there's so many other stuff that just interests me more.
The great thing about this arc is that it sidelines Inosuke and, more importantly, Zenitsu. Oh,
thank God for that.
So they're not there, so the annoyance factor of the show has dropped considerably.
There are a few characters in anime that I hate more than Zenitsu. I just want him to die painfully, screaming. Well, but he's screaming quietly. You know, maybe somebody stick a pillow over his face or something while he's being stabbed. Something like that would be fine. I just hate him. Boar-headed guy. He is annoying, but he's not as annoying as Zenitsu.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, at least so far they're a sideline. We get to see the, you know, where they make the swords, which I found an interesting thing. That first episode, of course, we get a little Tanjiro in Kanao, which is, I'm a huge shipper.
Okay.
Of that particular group. Mm-hmm. I love all the kids in the Butterfly Mansion, actually. I think they're really funny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's good is the new opening song. It's Man with a Mission.
It's good.
That's an amazing song. It's so good. They used that as the closing song in the cinema presentation, and that was this song's amazing.
I think you got amazing animation, and you get a lot of really cool action, and you have a really likable main character. So this show is just going to keep printing money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they tacked the first episode onto the last two episodes of last season and put it as a movie, and it made a shitload of money.
And the manga finished ages ago. So they're just going to keep churning it out at a reasonably slow velocity just to keep the money presses running.
I do like that. It's one of my favorite things about the show is that they're not going to run out of manga because the manga's done.
Mm.
And I really respect the author for ending his story and not like doing Baru Jojo, son of Tanjiro, you know, to make a little bit more money off his... cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the one thing that Boruto has over Naruto is that it has dinosaurs in it.
I can't argue with that.
I know, right?
Is there any other shows either one of you guys want to talk about?
Mm.
How was I've heard really good things about the first few episodes of Witch of Mercury, but I haven't actually seen it yet because there's only so much time and I'm watching like 40 other shows.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's fantastic.
That's what I heard. It's really good.
It's so good. It starts off a little bit quiet and then it just, oh, the shit hits the fan. It's like, okay. So much death and misery. Wow. I guess you expect that with Gundam, I suppose. But
that is the Gundam model these days. Is kind of a heartwarming first half, horrific blood loss in the second half.
Yeah, it's just some of the things they do to the characters. It's so grim. Incredibly grim.
Well, I kind of already got a sense that this series was going to be pretty grim by the fact that, well, the happy birthday scene in the first season.
Okay.
That's pretty fucked up. But yeah, I take it gets even more messed up.
Yes. Yes. If dead children is your thing, Gundam is your show.
And if dead children is your thing, please seek counseling.
Yes.
Also, Pizza, how are you finding the Konosuba spinoff? Some people are complaining that it is not that good or it doesn't meet their expectations. I have found it perfectly enjoyable.
I think it's kind of mid.
I mean, it wasn't going to be as good as regular Konosuba because you didn't have the rest of the characters, but I think it's really funny.
I don't know. There's some energy to it, but I feel like it's kind of like making a show about Patrick Starr from SpongeBob, if I had to put it in words. And what I mean by that is you kind of are trying to... This show is trying to essentially add details or explain different stories from Megumin's past, but I feel like some of these just past scenes aren't very interesting. It's just like, it sets up the demon school, which is fine, but it kind of sets your expectation that these guys are, the Crimson Demons are kind of already kooky people. So if they do like stuff where they have lessons on like posing,
which kind of,
that kind of feels like, oh, this is the baseline. And it just isn't super funny when they kind of do it because it's kind of expected. But I will admit, the second episode had me laugh a little bit because it did subvert my expectations in interesting ways, specifically in the class where they're supposed to hunt monsters. Like, the teacher's like, oh, you tunnel magic through yourself to pick up this super heavy weapon. And it's revealed that all those weapons are hollow to begin with.
That's the best part, is they're so chuny. My favorite part of the show is just Yun-Yun constantly being aghast at how chuny they are and how fucking ridiculous and embarrassing they all are.
Well, I wouldn't say embarrassing, but it's just like, oh, they're trying to do all this cool stuff, but they're half-assing it. And that's the funny part. To me, yeah. In any case, but
I love when like the adults are trying to like fight off the monsters, but they're all trying to show off so much they blow up the town.
Mm-hmm.
But then no one acknowledges that. Like, damn monsters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's a very low stakes comedy, which is fine in itself, and it gives you more Megumin. But I just feel like it's not doing enough interesting stuff to make me really get like want to keep following it. Like, if maybe I'm bored, I'll watch it in my spare time, which I don't have. But it does have some pretty good gags, and I probably would just ask Rec to watch it for me so I could get it to the good parts. Yeah, like, the one joke that really had me in stitches was how Megumin was trying to convince her teacher to let her keep her cat in class. He's like, this cat is a part of my soul!
And he bought it.
No, like, he didn't buy it at all. But he's like, but it sounded cool, so I'll let you.
Yes, it sounded cool, right? Yeah, it's tuning enough, so he allowed it.
Yeah, like that was a pretty good joke. But overall, I kind of feel like the jokes so far have been missing more than they've been hitting. So I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it, but I think it's fine.
And one real quick one here, Doc. How are you finding the new season finally of Ancient Magus Bride?
It's been really good. It's quite different. It's like Ancient Magus Bride goes to magic school. It's a bit like Harry Potter. But it's so it's got that weird mysterious tone to it. There's clearly lots of things going on in the background. Characters don't really know quite what their motivations are, what their deal is. I'm really, really looking forward to the rest of this show. It looks so good. It sounds good. I love the characters. This is one of my favourite anime shows, so I'm very hyped for this season.
It's just the animation is just unbelievable.
Yeah. So pretty.
Same with those shows where, like, oh, there's a lot of fucked up shit going on at various points.
Are there dead kids?
Dead children? Not yet.
Well, we don't know. Right?
I mean, there might be. I don't know. My favorite part is still when she interviewed with the school nurse, who's a caterpillar woman that nobody bothers to explain.
Yeah.
And she like rattles off all the fucked up shit that's happened to her. He's like, oh yeah, that did happen. It is a dragon's arm, and she does have a dead guy's eye.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's a little bit messed up.
It is really interesting to see her like interacting with other humans now, though, and like having to fit in with people as opposed to, like, you know, fairies and Silky and spirits and Shadow Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Shadow Dog's like MVP.
I like the Shadow Dog.
Shadow Dog's a real MVP.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our early impressions. We'll have even more next time.
Wait. Before we go, Doc, okay. I haven't had the time to watch Birdie Wing Season 2. Tell me how it is, please. I must know.
Did it kill you in golf?
It's more Birdie Wing for all of the good wonderfulness that that implies.
Yes.
It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's starting to bring in the real kind of soap opera style stuff about the origins of the characters and who their real parents are. And it's as absurd as you would hope it would be.
Thank God.
Are any of them aliens yet?
No, I'm just waiting for that. But I think the whole sort of mafia thing might eventually start coming back into it as well.
That's the best part.
God, yes.
Yeah, that's the best part. It's the underworld golf mafia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll kill you in golf. It's just the best fucking line ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now let's move on to the question of the weeb. Is the our question that is, you know, forwarded to the rest of the plebeians in Anite, and we get their meager feedback and present it to you, and you can judge them for it. This week's question, which came to me totally naturally, and I didn't have to spend hours desperately trying to figure out what to ask, is what element of anime, the things that exist in anime frequently, tropes and items and whatever, would you most want to pull into the real world? Like things like, you know, color-coded hair waifus and pulling mallets out of thin air, that kind of thing. So let's go through some answers. No One Loves Chororo said that some form of game is the most popular thing in the world and the way things are settled, which, like imagine Ukraine Ukraine and Russia settling issues with a Yu-Gi-Oh match. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Certainly it'd be a lot less bloody, but also I wonder if they'd have the style to have like ancient Egyptian bullshit happening in the background and people
you'd have to
shadow realm
and send Putin to the shadow realm.
Yes. After he gets obliterated by Exodia.
Okay. I see. Our friend Nomadic Deck said being able to physically manifest my specific skill set in a way that slows down time or some shit with a cool name, like a sports anime, would be great. Let's see. Coda wants to be able to power up, complete with a glowing aura. That would be kind of cool to just be like, and like your hair changes color and shit.
Yeah, you get so angry, you're able to start flying and throwing energy balls all over the place.
I feel like road rage incidents would create a lot of these problems.
Dude, imagine if there was a road rage incident and everybody started powering up to Super Saiyan 1 and then duking it out on the freeway.
Dude cut you out on the freeway, so you do Kamehameha, wipe out him and like 40 other cars.
Yeah.
Maybe take don't go on the 15 today. Someone did a Hadouken and knocked out three bridges. Let's see. Our friend, the Mama Luigi, who was supposed to be on tonight but got cooties, said, I would love to be able to pull up a screen of all my stats and skills like an RPG or every isekai now. I don't know. Honestly, like that, it would be kind of cool to be able to see everything that's going on with you on a screen, but I'm also really tired of that trope.
Yeah.
It'd be quite disappointing as well.
Yeah. You're like skills, English, 2.
D minus.
Strength, -1. I'd hate to see my own intelligence score. I think that'd be pretty disappointing.
The only thing that'd be high if would be their weight.
Yeah. Oh. I hate to like watch like Kami Gamikata and like bring up my screen and my intelligence score went down.
Nah.
So Deck came back with getting the amazing threads that comes with being the aloof, antagonistic, or loner in one of the main cast of Friends. That's true. I'd love to have like a huge pop collar like Code Geass.
But nothing stopping you in real life?
Yeah.
I don't know where to get a collar that awesome.
Just make it.
Yeah.
Just wander around your house. You don't have a job just now anyway, so it doesn't matter what you wear. Yeah. I'm sure your wife will be thrilled.
I'm pretty sure if I pulled up my RPG screen, my seamstress school skills would be -5. Deck came back again saying, romance-wise, the perfect partner is sitting next to you and not doing anything for 3,000 episodes and still ending up with the love of your life. Yeah. Our friend Ray Kaze says, anime food, and then posted pictures of food from Ghibli movies, which, you know, I can't argue with that.
Mm.
The food in like Food Wars and some of those movies always looks a lot better than the actual food you get in life.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to like bite into like a hamburger steak and my clothes blow off. I've been waiting for that for years. Yeah, let's see what else we got. Doc Kev says he doesn't want pink haired anime girls in real life. And I don't believe you, Doc. I'm sorry.
There's reasons. I've had the experience of meeting people in real life with very, very loud colored hair, and usually they're terrifying. I've said there's usually an accurate diagnostic signifier for conditions like borderline personality disorder or bipolar affective disorder that, when untreated, are possibly people that you don't really want to become emotionally reliant upon, or you know, often they're far too familiar with sharp objects and ruining your life.
Okay, but hear me out. What if your wife turned into a pink-haired anime girl? She's still her, but she now looks like a pink-haired anime girl.
That's even more terrifying.
Yeah.
Why do you think she watched so many murder dramas?
Women love true crime.
I would remove all of the knives from the house.
Just remind her every morning how much you love her and don't look at other women.
That's right. Anyway. Don't want my wife to look like Yuno Gasai, no.
Really? I think I'd be all right with that. Anyway, Aether said plot armor. So that's fair. But then, you know, you better be sure you're the protagonist.
Yeah. And also, does he mean plot armor? Like it's physical armor? Or just like
Well, I would hope it was like those little like, I guess some of those shows, like a little screen that pops up to block a bullet and stuff. Like a little tiny force field. I think that'd be cool.
I don't know. I think it would just be a breastplate with a breastplate that has plot on it.
You can do a lot with that one.
Yes.
As long as it's a breastplate.
Yes, a breastplate.
Viking says, I would love it if people would go around all the time with their favorite pet sitting on their head or in the hood of their sweatshirt. And if some of those pets could evolve into more powerful versions.
No. Just sounds like he wants to be a Digimon protag or something.
Yeah, I think he just wants like a Pikachu to walk around on his head.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair, we could all use a good Pikachu. Like if your car's dead, he could jump it. If you have a heart attack, he could be like an AED.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that happened at least once in the show, right? He brought Ash back with the electric shock.
A lot of things happen in Pokemon.
Let's see. Tenchi said, a friend who is totally into you, but you don't notice. At least then I would have a friend. Aw, Tenchi, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, that is pretty sad.
Also, I think you'd be better off having a friend who's into you, but you do notice, but okay.
Yeah.
Let's see, our friend Wright Zeno said, those hats and shirts that automatically display emoticons during conversation.
Huh? I don't follow.
Yeah, you know, it's like a shirt or a hat that's got like a face on it, and like it changes based on the emotions of the person wearing it.
Ah, I see.
They do that sometimes. Also, emotive ohagi. I don't know. You know the little hair antenna. I forget. I don't know how to pronounce that word. It looks way too much like another word.
Yeah, it's ahoge. Yeah, it's ahoge. Or wait.
Yeah, oh, emotive yeah, ahoge. Okay. Yeah, and you wouldn't turn down emotive okay. animal ears either.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't get more support for animal ears. As Itachi came back with having an evil eye that gives you superpowers, like I am atomic. Oh yeah, okay. Here's where people are, you know, representing for cat girls and fox girls. As the Arcane wants to solve problems by throwing school idols at them, I think Oshinoko has prided that the problem with that particular solution. Gugsy wants to go back to high school in his mid-30s. I'm like, I don't know, man. And here's a question I'll ask you too. I've asked this question before of people when we talk about the whole going back to high school with your current knowledge. Mm. Would you want to go back to high school would you want to revert to 18 in 2023 or go back to high school when you went to high school?
Oh, God. Back when I went to high school, I wouldn't want to be a teenager now. Teenagers now are shit.
Yeah.
Social media. No.
Yeah, that's what I said. I graduated in 2000. I think I'd bump it, like, if I could, and like maybe bump it up to 2004 or 2005 when internet was a little more useful, but before social media ruined everything.
I also like being able to afford a house as an adult now.
Well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah. A young person now, dear God.
Yeah, I don't even know how. I think, God, I don't have any kids. I don't know how you raise kids with cyberbullying being a thing. And, like, you can't keep track of them all the time.
Mm.
Sometimes they're Netflixing terrible thing. Some of them are watching, you know, Neon Genesis Evangelion. let's see. Any other good answers? There's a lot of discussion about going back to high school. That struck a nerve with people, I guess. Let's see. Our friend Marquan, who doesn't jump on here often, but you know, usually has some good stuff when he does, says, absolutely pulling objects from nowhere. You know how much chaos would ensue if that was part of reality? And, like, it would probably help, you know, piano and anvil companies. Sales of mallets would definitely go up. I have always wanted, like, you know, an isekai where they have item box. I've always thought that was like, that's just the most convenient thing.
Mm.
Yeah, storing all your booze in one spot. Hopefully it will stay refrigerated.
Yeah, you know, because it's all in stasis in that little pocket dimension of yours, so you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to carry bags of anything. You don't even have to use luggage when you fly. You just throw all your clothes in the pocket dimension.
Yeah, though that would be a good medium for choplifting, though, because you could just take anything off the shelf, store it there, and then walk out.
I could put all my manga books that I spent money on into it, and then my wife would never need to know.
Yeah. Think of all the ways you could commit crimes with that.
Yeah, someone did actually mention that. Alistair and Mark had discussed, what if you grab somebody and kidnap them by throwing them into your pocket dimension? Like, it's just nothing. There's nothing fun that you can't be turned scary and terrible.
Yes.
These are all really good answers. Me personally, like I said, I think an item box would be something I'd want to sign up for. Being reincarnated into another world would be good, because then I would know that there's life after death.
I think we'd have an epidemic of people throwing themselves in front of trucks then.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean,
well, it doesn't necessarily need to be trucks, it could be trains, I guess, but
imagine getting isekai'd and like, nah, this one sucks. So you jump in front of like a cart and horse, and then you get isekai'd 9 times before you find the world you're looking for.
Yeah. You're just trying to mulligan with lives.
Like, you get reincarnated, you pop out, you're like, does this world have catgirls? And you're like, what? No. So you just, you know, go through yourself in front of another bus.
That was dark.
Did you guys have answers to this?
I don't have any additional answers, no.
Honestly,
you didn't give any answers. All you gave was a negative answer that you don't want pink hair girl.
Honestly, I think a world run by just like one card game or something would be funny as hell. Or a game.
I would love if the UN was ruled by like Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. Or imagine like global conflicts were settled by Yahtzee or something.
Imagine like a History Channel documentary about World War II where like the turning point of the Battle of the Bulge was when somebody tapped two black mana and cast like, you know, undead or something.
Blade or something.
Do it.
Yeah.
Somebody put out Pot of Greed and it turned World War I.
Yep. But honestly, at that point, I think we're going to have to just go back to G Gundam to get that fix.
Oh, okay. That is a fantastic answer. That's my answer. If I could pull one thing out of anime into this world, it would be to settle all international conflicts with giant mech fights.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And the mechs have to be really, really, really stereotypical and racist.
Yes. Tequila Gundam, anyone?
Tequila Gundam, Zebra Gundam, Holland, Neo Holland is the Windmill Gundam, all that shit.
The Windmill Gundam.
Women, the Scotland Gundam is, you know, basically Braveheart. He's got a giant mech kilt.
Yeah. Oh, wait, isn't that the Viking Gundam or something?
Yeah, I think that was Sweden. No, Sweden was the Sailor Moon Gundam.
No, why is Sweden the Sailor Moon Gundam?
I don't know, but like the chick who had like the Sailor Moon Gundam was from Neo Sweden.
What?
There definitely was a Viking Gundam, though. I think it might have been Finland or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Like Canada was a lumberjack. God, I love that show.
Doc, if Ireland had a Gundam like based off it, what do you think it would be?
Pint of Guinness.
Just so no. It'd be a beer Gundam?
Yeah.
Now, if Ireland had a Gundam, it would be two different Gundams. They would be fighting each other all the time. Anyway, thank you for listening to the odd podcast about dead children and anime gynecologists. Thank you for joining us. I swear to God, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with probably a better episode.
Yeah, though we might need another, like a sub-host based on what might happen in the future.
It's possible.
Yes.
But anyway, thank you for joining us. I have been your interim host, Requiem. Joining me has been Doc Kev.
Bye-bye.
And that's my pizza.
Woo. See ya.
And make sure you always remember, first of all, baby metal rocks, and also we need more anime gynecologists.
And Gundams.
And Gundams. We should settle everything with Gundam.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Gynecologist Gundams.
Oh my god.
That's G Gundam. It's Gynecologist Gundam. It's right there.
That's oh my god.
Terrifying thought.
Delivering Gundam babies.